Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. After a murder and a protest, Craigslist has shut down its adult services category of things for sale. For good, website reps say. There's been a lot of debate about free speech and paid sex. It's all lit up the sprawling landscape of American sex for sale, on the internet and off, casual and cruel. This hour on Point, we're looking at realities now of the American sex trade on Craigslist and beyond. You can join the conversation. What's your reaction to Craigslist shutting down adult services? Who's selling sex in America now? You can also comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. We are joined this hour from Washington by Malika Sadarsar. She's founder and executive director of the Rebecca Project for Human Rights, a leader in the fight against sex slavery and human trafficking. She and her organization lobbied hard for the shutdown of Craigslist's adult services section. Malika Sadarsar, welcome back to On Point. It's great to have you.
Thank you, Tom.
Also with us from New York is Elizabeth Bernstein, Assistant Professor of Women's Studies and Sociology at Barnard College and a close observer and scholar of American sexual commerce. She's author of Intimacy, Authenticity, and the Commerce of Sex. Professor Bernstein, thank you very much for being here.
Thanks very much.
Malika Sadarsar, there's much more debate around this close down of Craigslist adult services section than I knew. People saying, way to go. You've closed that down, but at least that kept a lot of things in a setting where they could be monitored. Now it's back on the street. Now it's more out of sight. You pushed hard for it, shutting this down. Why, Malika?
Well, for us, this was a human rights issue. And the reason why it was a human rights issue is that we are doing the work from the perspective of, at first, girls in the juvenile justice system in America. So we were working with all of these girls across the U.S. who were behind bars in situations of very extreme trauma and pain. And when we talked to them about why were they behind bars at the age of 13 and 14
Are you,
and
behind
15.
Bars, do you mean in prison, in jail?
In prison, in jail. Mm-hmm. Most of them were behind bars in these detention centers because they had been trafficked. They were put behind bars for being sold for sex. And it became very clear to us that there was this real epidemic going on our streets where children, 8th graders, 9th graders, were being sold for sex. And what they shared with us and what was the shared narrative of these girls was that they were being sold for sex through Craigslist. And so it became very important first to lift up, to excavate the issue of 11th graders being sold for sex, 9th graders being sold for sex, and how Craigslist was a primary facilitator in the selling of children for sex online. That's why, for us, it was not about an issue of prostitution or the First Amendment. It was the issue of children being sold through Craigslist in a manner that made it very easy, convenient, and normative to sell a child for sex.
Elizabeth Bernstein, nobody wants to see children sold for sex. But yet, you've got some ambivalence about this shutdown on the Craigslist front. Why and how do you see the landscape of American sex trade today? How what's it look like? How's it been changing?
Yeah, thank you. I think ambivalence is the right word. And I'll just say, for my book, Temporarily Yours, I did about a decade of research with people in the sex trade and who were working in all kinds of ways, including in the streets and online. And I began my research in the mid-90s and did it through the mid-2000s, so precisely the period, in fact, when many people who had been working on the streets made the shift online, because most prostitution now takes place through online media. And like Malika, I do agree with one thing, which is that I think it's tragic when youth find themselves in prison as a result of their participation in these kinds of exchanges. But what gives me caution about crackdowns on places like Craigslist is precisely what I saw in the streets before Craigslist was even on the scene, and the amounts of violence and distress and real profound physical dangers for young people working on the streets, I think, are in fact much more severe. And I think I think for many people working, being involved in the sex trade in indoor ways is actually less perilous, less dangerous. And would that it, you know, if it were easy enough to get rid of the sex trade just by criminalizing online sites, that would be one thing. But the sex trade preceded these sites. It will exist in other forms and through other media after they're gone. And so I think you need to have a sort of harm reduction strategy.
You said something there that really catches my attention,
yeah.
That in the last decade, the sex business in this country, maybe around the world, but certainly in the United States, has really changed because of the medium of the internet. What has that meant for, you know, what's being sold, for who's in the sex business? Give us a sense of what that profile looks like now, or profiles.
Yeah, and profiles is right. I mean, I think it's, there's a lot of focus on children right now. In some sense, that's the older part of the industry. I mean, children have engaged in sexual commerce for a long time, and as I suggested, will continue to do so because there's not that many other money making strategies available to them. I think more significant.
Can I interrupt for a second?
Yeah. I'd like to finish.
But I just want to point out. I mean, I assume you're not saying that most of them are doing this as a voluntarily, as instead of a paper route. I mean, a lot of them are forced into this, right? Children.
Well, I think force and coercion. Let me just finish my thought about this,
okay.
And then I'll come to the
Malika,
force
sorry.
And coercion
mm-hmm.
point, because it is important, and I agree. But I think actually, your initial question was about the newer segments of the industry, and I think one of the things that the internet has facilitated is an explosion of the kinds of sexual commodities that are available, but not just young people, poor people, older people, middle class people, students, men, women, transgenders. I think the market has expanded for these kinds of reasons, and this is one of the things that I write about in my book, Temporarily Yours, which is the ways in which
you're talking about part-time sex workers before
part-time
work, after work, even middle class using the internet.
Precisely. There was a recent study of French university students where something like 20% of them had sold sex. I mean, so, you know, these numbers are you know, difficult to pin down with any certainty. But I think this is, if you're speaking about the kinds of transformations in the sex industry that the internet has facilitated, these are the biggest ones. Now, in terms of the question of force and coercion, I mean, I think these are very complicated questions, especially if you're talking about youth. You know, I think youth have very few options, and I think even youth who are choosing, in quotes, it's a very, very constrained choice. That
is it
said,
really complicated? You mean it's complicated if a 10-year-old girl is in the sex business? Is that what's complicated about that? It sounds like she's surely being coerced.
Well, absolutely. The complicated part, and I'm sure Malika would agree with this, is the kinds of coercions that she's probably already experienced in her life that got her there. So, you know, running away from situations of abuse and you know, even more profound distress in a familial environment so that it can feel like a choice. Not that it's the choice that we would want anybody to make. But
Malika Sarasar, do you see this change in the landscape of sex workers in this country in the internet era?
We do. And let me throw out a couple of stats to reinforce that. First, the Department of Justice has found that there are between 100,000 to 300,000 children who are vulnerable to commercial sexual exploitation. And those children are mostly girls who are between the ages of 12 to 14. And I'm talking about American girls. We also know, according to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, that a third of the individuals who are being sold for sex on the streets are children. And when you look at those who are being sold online, about half of them are children. And so what the internet has allowed for is the selling of children in the discretion, anonymity, and protection of one's home, right? So before, when it's on the street only, you have the scrutiny of the police and the public watching a John purchase a child for sex. When it's done online, there is not that type of public scrutiny. And that's why we saw Craigslist play such a huge role in, as was said, the explosion of child trafficking for sex, because individuals could purchase a child for sex as easily and with the same privacy as one would purchase a chair or couch off of Craigslist.
It's horrible. It's deplorable in every respect. At the same time, have you seen this new kind of sex worker move into the industry as well, Malika? The kind of middle class, part time. I don't know what do you want to call it.
No, I don't know which world that is, but as someone who works in the issue of girls who are struggling around issues of abusive foster care placements.
That's your focus, I get it. But is there another population in this industry as well now, as Elizabeth says?
There well might be, but just to talk about it from the reality of those who are mostly there, and mostly there as children, those individuals are, again, elementary age, middle school age. There is no issue of choice there. Many of these girls are runaway or thrown away girls. They are running away from homes where there has been abuse or abusive foster care placements, and they are preyed upon by these pimps who coerce them into selling. Or you have situations, and we've seen a number of these situations play out in Ohio. Toledo is a major trafficking spot where girls are kidnapped by pimps and sold for sex.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the American sex trade on Craigslist and beyond. Malika Sadar-Sar is with us, executive director of the Rebecca Project for Human Rights. They're very focused on sex slavery, human trafficking, particularly among children. She lobbied hard for the shutdown of Craigslist's adult services section. Joins us from Washington. From New York, Elizabeth Bernstein joins us, author of Temporarily Yours, Intimacy, Authenticity, and the Commerce of Sex. She teaches at Barnard University. At hearings before Congress last week, here was Elizabeth McDougal, legal counsel to Craigslist, defending Craigslist's approach, which she called practical in her testimony.
Craigslist created first the erotic services, then the adult services category, so that adult content, which includes legal adult services, could be put in one location. And that both serves the purpose of making sure that people who don't want to see such content don't have to view that content. However, it also gives a single location for law enforcement, rescue groups, families looking for children, one location to go to.
One location to go to. One of the arguments for leaving it up is that it is highly surveillable by law enforcement. But here's Representative Jackie Speier of California talking at the hearing of the House Judiciary Subcommittee on Domestic Minor Sex Trafficking, criticizing websites that host ads for sexual services.
Websites escape liability when an ad on their site results in child prostitution, rape, or even death.
They're not responsible under federal law for what happens there. Elizabeth Bernstein, what do you see on the law enforcement front? Malika says, the web enables this trade to go undercover and out of sight. On the other hand, the street comes with its own dangers. What about from the law enforcement perspective?
I think it is very surveillable, and as part of my research for my book, I spent time with vice squads around the country, watching them do this kind of work. So I think it is quite policed, and I think there's some merit to what the Craigslist Council said. I also wanted to just mention in terms of the numbers that a third or a half, Malika said, of the ads underage, of the ads online are underage. People, I just don't see that in my own research, and there's my own research and a bevy of other reputable sociological research that I've surveyed. I just don't think that's true. I think there are young people there, but I think the question that's pertinent is what's going to happen to those young people if these kinds of sites are closed down. And If one is concerned about their fate and violence and mistreatment, I think you have no idea unless you've seen what it's like to be engaged in sex work on the streets.
You know, after the Craigslist killing, what was April 2009, I didn't know much about it. I went on and checked it out. I was blown away by the volume of sexual services being offered there. And
on many other sites as well, I might point out.
I'm sure there are. I it's not my thing. But it was unbelievable. And, you know, Malika, there may be many children being offered somehow between the lines there. An awful lot of what I read was, like, weirdly explicit about how, you know, I'm home from work at 6, come by, you know, here's roughly the price euphemistically described, and, you know, we can do X, Y, and Z till 9, you know, and then I got to take care of the kids kind of thing. I mean, it sounded very far from the traditional sort of brothel or traffic children business. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that's not there. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it is as well.
Here's what's important to focus on. We have to focus on how the landscape of the sex trade is now more about very young girls and how there are too many ads on Craigslist, mm-hmm. as well as Backpage, that were about children being sold for sex. This is the reality that we have to come to terms with. This isn't a conversation about whether prostitution should be legalized or what does chosen prostitution look like. There is a phenomenon going on that NCMEC has recognized, as well as other anti-trafficking organizations, that we see these very young girls, 13, 14 years old, who are too often runaways, thrownaways, or simply kidnapped, who are under the control of pimps and traffickers and are not there by choice, are being raped on a daily basis, beaten by these pimps. Let me give you the story of one individual who is one of the survivor leaders who took on Craigslist. She wrote an open letter to Craig Newmark asking him to shut down the adult services section. She had been kidnapped in L.A. by a pimp at the age of 11. She was under the coercion and control of this pimp until she was 17 years old. Wow. She was bought and sold off of Craigslist every day. She was bought and sold over state lines as well, from Nevada to L.A. down to Texas. And do you know how she described where she was kept by the pimp? She called it daddy daycare because of the number of other very young girls under the control of the pimp. Unfortunately, her story is becoming too representative of the stories of so many young girls who are being bought and sold in areas like Atlanta, in areas like Toledo, Ohio, is the fourth largest area for domestic trafficking of minor girls. And I think this is what we are trying to push forward in naming it as a human rights issue distill it from the rest of the discourse that we have, the traditional discourse that we have around, is prostitution good or bad? Ought it to be legalized?
They're terrible stories, absolutely terrible, and we recognize that. We'll look more at it. At the same time, it's not the only piece of the industry we want to look at today, though we don't want to ignore it in any way. Craigslist argued for a long time that having this up on their site had advantages because it emphasized that the company helped law enforcement crack down on abuse whenever possible. Here's director of their customer service and law enforcement relations, William Clinton Powell.
Craigslist facilitates billions, literally billions, of human interactions each month, many of them face-to-face, among tens of millions of U.S. users, nearly all of whom are well-intentioned, law-abiding citizens seeking legitimate ends. The incidence of crime related to use of Craigslist is extremely low, but despite our best efforts, it is not and cannot be zero. When Craigslist is used or is misused for illegal activity, we assist law enforcement in their investigations.
Incidence of crime extremely low. We'll look at that, but it's over now. Here he is saying that the adult services section would be closed down.
Craigslist discontinued its adult services section on September 3rd, 2010, and there are no plans to reinstate the category. Those who formerly posted ads in the adult services category will now have to advertise elsewhere. And in fact, there is evidence that this process began immediately after September 3rd.
On Craigslist and elsewhere, the internet is a big place, and there's lots of forums where people can come forward if that's what they want to do, sell sex. Ali in Brookline, Massachusetts. Ali, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just took a minute out of my very busy schedule because I was just appalled at hearing your guest, Ms. Bernstein, referring to this very casually as work, and these children don't have other money making. She really is saying that this is their choice and this is a line of work, or that if some women, girls in France, in university, they sell sex for money, that this is okay here for children of 10, 11, 12-year-old. Yes, that happens in Holland too, but they are certified adult boutique. How about having boutiques here with children in them for sale? Does she agree with that? I was just appalled at the educated person's comment about children of our country being sold on Craigslist or anywhere else.
Ali, we've got it. Let me put it to Elizabeth Bernstein. We're going to hear in just a moment from Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney. But Professor Bernstein, first to you.
Yeah, I'm sorry my comments were misunderstood in that way, because that's not what I intended at all. My comments came from a place of actually having spent 10 years working pretty closely with adults and children who are involved in various aspects of the trade, and seeing the circumstances under which many young people found themselves in one way or another involved in this industry. And what I would say is just that it's complicated and not easily remedied. And when you run away from home, lots of young people run away from homes that are not safe places to go back to. And the main thing that they need to do is to eat and to sleep. And they need to find a way to address their immediate physical needs. And they often turn to the sex industry for that reason. Now, some of them are abducted, as Malika mentioned, but others, and I'm sure Malika would agree with this, also, you know, make a choice in quotes, but it's not a meaningful choice.
I wouldn't agree with that. You know, of all the girls that we have worked with, girls survivors and victims, the story is not that they made the choice. The story is that a man appeared to them. I mean, it's very similar to the Lawrence Taylor case,
where a man appeared to them and
promised to take care of them, promised to be a boyfriend, really appeared as a prince to save them, and they agreed to then be saved by this man, and then he revealed to them that he was a pimp. So it was.
I don't look at that as a choice. Okay, fine. The language. We can disagree about the operative verb here, but I think those are the easy cases. If I could finish my sentence, please. I'd like to just, I don't want to be misunderstood by this caller who...
Quickly, we have Congresswoman Maloney standing by.
Yeah, I understand that. I just think that young people need to eat, and young people do find themselves in this industry, whether they want to be there or not, whether they're abducted or not. Young people decide, I need to do something to get food in my belly tomorrow, and I've seen that more than I've seen anything else.
So there's an element that's a pretty bitter way to define choice, but we understand that. Representative Carolyn Maloney joins us right now, Democratic Congresswoman for New York's 14th District. She's co-chair of the Congressional Human Trafficking Congress, sponsor with New Jersey Republican Chris Smith of the Domestic Minor Sex Trafficking Deterrence and Victim Support Act. Congresswoman Maloney, welcome back to On Point. Thanks for being here.
Hi, I'm delighted to be with you. Thank you, Tom, for focusing on this this challenge that is such a large one. We need to protect our children.
Where did you come down on the Craigslist adult services listings, and whether or not they were a net, you know, a benefit for law enforcement tracking, or problem because they facilitated trafficking?
Oh, I'd say they were a problem. They were making millions off of ads that were selling for roughly $10, and it's estimated the take is $44 million in revenue across the country, and they were by far the largest site. The fact that they responded to the attorney generals and to the advocates, I applaud them for ending their site here in America. I called on them to have the same treatment internationally. And sex trafficking is the slavery of the 21st century, and it's really horrible. The organized crime it's preceded only by drugs, guns, and then human sex trafficking. Only the human body can be sold over and over again, and until it is destroyed. And I have met with many young women that have been trafficked, and no one makes that decision. They are tricked, coerced. They're putting their lives in danger. And if anyone questions this. There is a portrait that was in Prism magazine of mugshots in Colorado. The first day the girls were arrested, they looked individual. They looked like a whole person. Then they tracked them through seven other arrests. By the seventh arrest, you could not even recognize them. They all looked the same, drugged, sick, destroyed, no sense or soul within them. So anyone
those women were on the street,
for,
by the way.
For legalized prostitution, I do not believe understands the treatment that women go through.
What about the argument, Representative, that at least with Craigslist, police could see, have access and kind of watch where an awful lot of this trafficking was going on and could use it as a tool to try and clamp down?
Well, they are moving to other sites, and I'm sure the FBI and law enforcement knows where those sites are, and they will work with those groups to track them down. I think any time you can discontinue a section that is destroying the lives of young people, it's a step in the right direction.
Everybody's opposed to child trafficking. What about what appeared to be on Craigslist, also an explosion of not children and not necessarily coerced participants in that sexual commerce, Representative?
You mean the massage areas?
It looked like an awful lot of people putting their own listings up there, you know, for after work or weekends or you name it. I'm sure a lot of that had pimps and coercion involved as well, but it didn't look like all of it. Has the Internet encouraged?
I am sure. Well, the Internet has totally changed the business. It used to be people would go to the street, and the street walkers meant you were a prostitute if you were walking on the street and not on the sidewalk. But now that it's moved to the, with a click of a mouse, you can have a young person delivered to your doorstep. And I have talked to young people that were treated that way by their foster parents or their, quote, boyfriends or whatever. I think that law enforcement, I'm sure, is working with Craigslist and others on sites that may look suspicious. There are legitimate massage artists out there, but there are others that are maybe hiding illegal activities and certainly trading in the bodies of 12- and 13-year-olds, which is hard to believe, but the average age of first exploitation is 12 or 13 years old.
And again, it's terrible, but do you think the Internet has encouraged a bigger sex industry in this country among non-children? You call it massage therapists, and I'm sure there are plenty of those, but a lot of it looked to me like straight kind of, you know, rank, straight up, sex for sale. Here we go.
Well, I'm sure that law enforcement, it's not as blatant now, and I'm sure they're working with Craigslist and others on the Internet. It has made it easier for Johns to connect in that way. But one of the things that we need to do is to help these young people, and that's why I have written and introduced, along with Mr. Smith and Senator Wyden in the Senate, the Minor Trafficking Deterrence Victim Support Act, which would have a multidisciplinary cooperative approach to shutting down child trafficking, sex trafficking in the U.S. and offer rehab for them. I did a study that I required under the Congressional Research Service, and they came back saying that there are fewer than 50 beds for sex trafficked individuals. And another report that I read recently showed that our country really is spending more money on international combating sex trafficking internationally and those that are trafficked into this country, and not enough on our American citizens that are victimized. And some law enforcement in New York has told me the numbers have gone up among victimized citizens when we have been stricter on our borders now after 9/11 and making it more difficult, as we should, to get into the country.
Representative Carolyn Maloney of New York's 14th District, co-chair of the Congressional Human Trafficking Caucus, thank you very much for joining us today. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the American sex trade on Craigslist and beyond today. Malika Sarasar is with us, executive director of the Rebecca Project for Human Rights, particularly focused on the exploitation of the young in sex trafficking. Elizabeth Bernstein is with us, Assistant Professor of Women's Studies and Sociology at Barnard University, joins us from New York, author of Temporarily Yours, Intimacy, Authenticity, and the Commerce of Sex. Craig is on the line from New Haven, Connecticut. I assume it's not Craig Newmark. Hi, Craig.
No, it's not.
Okay.
How's it going?
Okay, what do you see, Craig?
I think this is a little bit of a gross exaggeration of the problem at hand, and I think Craigslist, the adult section, should have stayed open, and I think at least half of the revenue that was being made, or the suspected revenue, should have been given to law enforcement agencies instead of closing the section. Now instead of all that revenue that was being made legitimately by Craigslist, now it's just disappeared, and the money could have went to actually fighting the problem versus the problem of moving on to a different site.
But Craig, was that not in large part revenue off of prostitution? I mean, what about what was or is going on there?
Well, I think that at least half of that revenue should have went directly to law enforcement agencies. I mean, it would have been better to see the site being shut down because law enforcement was doing their job, as opposed to forcing the site to shut down and having, you know, the Johns and the perverts move to different websites.
Craig, we got it. Let me get one more. Ralph in Arlington, Massachusetts. Ralph, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. Well, specifically about it moving to other websites, is some of it's already moved to the Boston Phoenix's adult Eros site, which, by the way, I've never contacted any of those people, nor on the old classified ads that were in the Phoenix that were on paper. And it's, but I do know from a quick look at their website that it has far more extensive than the paper site. It has a lot more listings and listings that aren't on the paper site. So
what, Craigslist can go away, but there will still be lots of it going on?
That's right. And it's really just resulting in a redirection of, you know, where people are going to post their listings, and the law enforcement will have to move on to look for the other sites. So I don't, although I laud the purpose and the intent of stopping child prostitution and child slavery, I don't really think this will have much effect, if any.
Malika, will it just move elsewhere?
Well, let's make a couple of things clear. There's not one law enforcement official or agency that has stood up and said, this was bad that Craigslist Adult Services section closed down. In fact, we know the reverse is true, right? So 2 years ago, Sheriff Dart from Cook County sued Craigslist in order to try to stop the selling of children for sex online. At the hearing last week, Sheriff Sensley from Truckee, California, spoke up and lauded the closing down of the Adult Services section. Our office got calls from Canada's law enforcement asking us to help them shut down the adult services section in Canada because Craigslist has only shut it down in the U.S., not internationally. So where it's being framed that this is bad for law enforcement is not coming from law enforcement. Law enforcement has been pleading for years to rein in these sex ads on Craigslist. And we have worked very closely with law enforcement in joining them around that plea. I also think it's important to recognize that law enforcement and anti-trafficking organizations have asked Craigslist to do this. Also, the idea that the money that was made off the backs of children who were being prostituted ought to go towards helping the situation. What's interesting is that Craig Newmark made a number of checks out to anti-trafficking organizations, and all of those anti-trafficking organizations that received that funding rejected it, one in Minnesota and then one girls organization in California and San Francisco that just rejected checks from Craig Newmark and Craigslist because they do not want to accept money that is tainted, because this is money that in some way is clearly connected to child rape and prostitution.
Elizabeth Bernstein, it doesn't say much for the law enforcement possibilities of Craigslist listings, which the company repeatedly emphasized. I guess if law enforcement itself is not standing up for that.
What do you mean it doesn't say much for the law enforcement possibilities?
Well, Craigslist always said this is a great way for law enforcement to follow and crack down on this kind of trafficking. But if law enforcement officials themselves aren't standing up for it, it doesn't seem like much of an endorsement.
Well, I mean, I think that you'll hear diverse perspectives if you talk to people in the Vice Squad, people in law enforcement. And, you know, I have yet to hear any compelling evidence that there is more exploitative advertising for child sexual labor on Craigslist than there would be in other venues.
I think I can give you some of that evidence.
But you can't give me,
Malika. If
you want
it,
Please let me finish, Malika.
One second, Malika. Elizabeth?
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I did over a decade of research, and what you're lacking, to my mind, is the historical perspective about what things were like before Craigslist was there and what things were like for youth on the street. And, you know, concerns, social mobilizations around young children in the sex trade are not new. They're century old at a minimum, and, you know, they resurface every few years with, you know, grand claims that this is new, this is a burgeoning problem that we've never had before, that that suddenly there's a demand for young people that we've never had before. That's just historically false.
Could I ask you, because I'm trying to put my finger on this ambivalence I continue to hear in your observations. They're very interesting. But are you saying we should not be working to crack down on child sex trafficking, that it has always been part of human life, it will always be with us, that kind of attitude?
Absolutely. Do you think we should not.
I
think people have legitimate reasons to be upset about this. I think people even have legitimate reasons to oppose prostitution. I think there are legitimate feminist reasons for that. However, I think you have to be smart about how you intervene. And if you really care about young people, if you really care about women in the sex trade, I think cracking down on these sites is not going to help them. And that's what concerns me, that it's not a smart and it's not a helpful political intervention. If you really care about young people and the sexual exploitation of young people, you have to do other things to make young people's lives safer, to give them meaningful choices. I was glad to hear Congresswoman Maloney talking about developing shelters and facilities. I think these kinds of interventions help. I think if there's an infrastructure for children outside of abusive families to go to, then maybe they won't get involved in the sex trade at all. I think you have to do things to empower children.
Malika, right? what about this concern that closing down Craigslist could just put them out in the rawest of trafficking situations on the street where, from what I'm reading here, the dangers are even higher of a physical abuse.
Right. Well, a couple things, since this, the issue of children and the internet is being contested. A couple facts. One that came out in Sheriff Dart's lawsuit against Craigslist, which is that the FBI in 2008, in a one-month period, were able to track down 2,800 children being sold for sex on Craigslist. The Shapiro Group also did a study looking at the ways in which Craigslist is used to buy sex of children, and found that 47% of the men in Georgia went ahead with the transaction for a child, even after being told that the child was under the age of 18. I think there is this place of joining that Elizabeth and I have around, what about these girls who are at the razor edge margins of our communities, who are running away from sexual abuse, who are thrown away from these abusive families? There is a real problem there, that we have girls who wind up on the streets being sold for sex, online being sold for sex, and then they are the ones who are arrested. The traffickers don't get arrested. The Johns don't get arrested. It's the girls who wind up criminalized and behind bars.
But those others don't get arrested via online commerce either, do they?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't matter whether we're talking about the streets or we're talking about online. There is a culture of impunity around the buying and selling of children.
Let me ask you. I asked Elizabeth Bernstein about what I heard as her ambivalence. I hear something else interesting from you. I know that your mission, or institutionally, is for girls. But surely there are many, many others here, older women and men, who have been trafficking online. What about that? Put your personal organizational mission aside just for a second. We see how vital it is. But I wonder, do you see something new having emerged in the internet age in terms of the type of person selling and maybe buying sex online? Has it changed outside that category of trafficked youth, which is terrible? Do you see something different going on?
Well, I'm sure there's that dynamic. It's the other dynamic that is a human rights issue. And it's that dynamic of children being sold online and this type of repeated child rape that occurs with impunity that we are focused on. That is not to deny that there might be another dynamic. But the dynamic that is the place of extreme human rights violation and exploitation is that of very young girls who are being hurt. And the silence around those girls. I mean, how many times have we heard the story of the escort service or the grad student who engages in the escort service to make it through grad school? There's lots of visibility of that narrative. There is so little recognition of all of these girls at the margins who are undereducated, often very poor, coming from abusive backgrounds, who are placed in these situations of being bought and sold for
country.
Sex.
Let me get a call. McGenna in Medford, Massachusetts. McGenna, you're on the air.
Yes, hi, Tom. Thank you for bringing this this topic up. It's really disturbing. And what's most disturbing is that people don't know enough about it. Enough awareness has not been brought out there. The U.S., 25,000 internationals get trafficked every year, and these are international humans being trafficked. And in the U.S., 300,000 American U.S. citizens are at risk for human trafficking.
So do you see it as a problem of underaged people or of all kinds of people, McGenna?
Well, it's all kinds of people. Most of them are underage because mm-hmm. they're the most vulnerable. I think, and they're you know, they get coerced into doing things that you know, that usually they wouldn't do, and it's pretty disturbing. There is actually going to be a national campaign going on in the U.S. October 2nd and 3rd that is being done to raise awareness on the issue, FCT, Stop Child Trafficking Now organization. And I think what the problem is, too, is there is a demand for these girls, mm-hmm. for these very young girls, and hence the supply has been increasing because it's such a good, it's a good business for the traffickers. There's not much risk that they are taking. So
there's demand and there's been a big venue online that will still be there in part and, of course, offline as well. McGenna, thanks for your call. Let me go to Victoria in Lyme, Connecticut. Victoria, you're on the air.
Hello. I have a specific question I want to ask real fast because I am on a cell phone. I was the victim of child trafficking myself in the 1950s.
Wow.
My grandfather sold my sister and I repeatedly over a period of about 5 years. So my heart is there. I wondered if there are opportunities, because believe me, there's nothing more I'd like to see than the people who are actually engaging in this mm-hmm. as much as the people who are selling it.
Yep.
I like to see those people punished. And I wonder if there's any way that there's a volunteer, you know, you see people making telephone calls pretending to be whatever, and they turn that stuff over to the police and they can take care of it. I wondered if there are opportunities like that available.
To go after the Johns, the customers here. Victoria, thanks for your call. Malika?
You know, what's interesting is that we don't have to create new law to go after these Johns. We have all of the existing statutory rape law, child endangerment law to go after the Johns who purchased the girls for sex. What is missing is the political will. And that's why it's so important to frame this issue as an issue of girls being victimized and exploited and raped. Because if we recognize that these girls are victims, not girls who are choosing this, but girls who are victims like they are victimized in India and Thailand, then perhaps we can urge our political officials and lawmakers to finally create the momentum and will to prosecute the Johns who buy these girls.
We've got a law enforcement call coming in, Malika. I want to get it. Pam in Providence, Rhode Island. Pam, you're on the air. Hello, Pam.
Hello.
Hi, Pam. What do you know?
Hi, it's Tammy. I just wanted to address the issue that the professor said that, yes, there's lots of surveillance going on in the United States over these websites, and that she's been there and she's seen it. That may be true, but I also work with law enforcement on both a state, local, and federal level, and I hear over and over again that they don't have the manpower to police this properly and are happy to take any surveillance help we can get. So I just think it's misconstruing the actual facts.
So do you think it's good to close down Craigslist adult services or bad, Tammy?
I absolutely think it's good. I don't think it's going to end the problem, but I think it's a step in the right direction.
Tammy, your line is really rough, but I appreciate your call. Elizabeth Bernstein.
Can I jump in for a
minute? No, I think you have, but I've only got a few seconds.
Okay.
I need to turn it to Elizabeth for a moment here. Where do you think this is going, Elizabeth? We've got still a lot of trafficking online. You hear Malika's very strong advocacy for girls. But the Internet is changing, you know, the venues here. Is there a way to push back the tide of the sex trade in this country, to diminish it, to make just the volume of this business overall smaller?
Well, I think that's a big problem that goes beyond law enforcement. If that's your goal, and this is, I think, where Malika and I disagree. I care about the girls as she does, and I respect her for the care that she has exhibited. But I think you have to address the structural problems. You have to address why children are homeless, you know, why they're fleeing from families. I think you need to empower children in a broader set of ways. And I think you have to create economic equality between men and women more broadly if you want to really get to the root of the problem.
Well, it sure can't help the new poverty numbers we saw out just last week.
Exactly.
That can't be a good thing. And certainly the trafficking, the enslavement, the criminal abuse is not a good thing. And Craigslist taking it off, we'll see what the effect of that is. But it's really interesting. Malika Sadasar with the Rebecca Project for Human Rights. Thank you very much for being with us today, Malika.
Thank you. It's an honor.
And Elizabeth Bernstein, author of Temporarily Yours, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.